Hi, Onyx fam. Welcome to The Onyx Life, where change comes with challenge. Every episode, we take you on a journey moving you from the struggle life to the Onyx life, creating happy homes and financial empires, and exploring the lighter side of life. My name is Murthel.
And I'm Rita. Today, we're going to be talking about what we've been doing these last 3 months. So, Murthel, we said at the end of our last podcast that we were going to actually just take maybe a few weeks off, and it ended up being 2 months.
Right. So.
Yeah, 2 months. So we're now back, and we feel like we need some, you know, to do some explaining here. What happened was we just needed to take a break because there were a lot of things happening around the same time, and we needed to be able to focus on those things, but also to regroup for and think about what did we want to do in this like season two of the Onyx Life? What did we want to do?
Right. And so we were on our grind.
Yeah.
And we were just having some relaxing, laid back time as well, just trying to regroup. So
Right. But some pivotal things happened. So let's just go through some of those things. So one of them, and the most important thing, was both of our oldest daughters graduated from high school, and they are not twins. They're about 11 months apart, but we homeschooled, and so they ended up both graduating this year.
Right.
And it was an amazing ceremony because we are with a homeschool group that actually does a ceremony at a venue, and you march with other homeschooled children, and the parents even have the opportunity to hand out the degree. And it was such a relaxed event because you could actually talk about what the journey's been like, and just everyone was it was such a blessed time because you could see the joy on all of the parents' face. And the kids just seemed so independent and right. Smart. There were so many people there. We saw, we had people there who were graduating from high school and college. We also had someone who was accepted to Stanford. I mean, just so many, a wide range of people in there.
And I was kind of surprised also just how many people were actually in the graduation service.
Right.
Because I really thought it was going to be about 20, but it actually ended up being more than double that. So.
Right. And that's all the people who just chose to actually march.
Because
right.
There
was a lot more who just decided to stay
not
home.
To come. Yeah.
Right.
But it was a great service. It was a wonderful time for me and Rita to be able to celebrate the milestone and just take that time to just acknowledge that this portion of their life is complete. And you know, we had homeschooled them their entire life. And of course, you know that there was just that one, you know, year where we had explained how they had tried private school. And then the other semester they had tried public school. And well, you know how that all went.
Yeah.
But we did it, hun. We did it.
Yeah, I know.
We did it.
Now
and it was worth
more.
The celebration. Right.
Two more now.
So we have a big announcement when it comes to, you know, what their next move is. They got accepted to the university that they wanted to go to.
We actually had gone through picking a room, the meal plan,
everything. So this September is the big thing.
The doctor's visits, you know, with
got,
the shots,
we got everything.
Everything.
So we're gonna explain to you what is happening this coming school year. Wait for it. We are going to have it in one of these next episodes. It's kind of shocking. But if you know me and Rita, you probably won't be shocked.
Right. You know that we are people who make our own path. We're
right.
True pathfinders, and we don't necessarily follow what everyone else thinks that, you know, we should follow.
Right.
And it always, I think, frightens our family at first, and then they get used to it like, oh, okay. All right. And it's not something that we're prideful about. It's just where we recognize that this is our path as individuals, as a family, and this is what the choices that we want to make, how it is for our family. And we don't necessarily say, oh, you all have to make those same choices.
Exactly.
We just say that this is what works for us and this is where we are called. So,
I mean, look out for that podcast. It's going to be about the next journey for our two older daughters, Shalom and Sinead. And
in fact, we're going to have them on here because they're going to come on here more often and you'll be able to hear it actually straight from them.
Right.
And then we'll grill them and we'll talk to them about what, you know.
You know, what this next journey is going to look like. But
for their graduation gift,
ooh, yeah.
We took a cruise to the Bahamas.
Yes.
And, of course, on the way there, Marthel, you know, he got a ticket.
Yeah.
But
we sure did. I mean, I don't even know why I do this, but every time that I travel, I always get at least one ticket.
But you know what? We just went to Austin. You didn't get a ticket.
Because I'm done with it. I am done with these tickets. Mm-hmm. Every single time. What am I rushing for? That's like, I remember like my life before the Onyx life was just rush, rush, rush. Right. Everything was like,
every
gotta
second
get here,
was rushing.
Gotta get there. And even though I didn't really have to, my mindset was I have to get here within this framework or this time. We left plenty of time. I did not have to rush. I did not have to get that ticket. And I just said, I'm not going to do this ever again. And so this last time we went on another trip. We went to Bahamas, and I'm going to get back to this ticket business, but we just got back from Austin. Austin, Texas. And I did not get a ticket, folks. Why? Because I am determined. I am chill. I put the cruise control on, and I just relaxed. No ticket.
I don't think that we would have arrived there any really that much earlier than we did.
That's what they say. They say that exactly. You really actually don't arrive that much earlier when you speed.
Right.
So I'm done with that. That's like, this will be my last ticket, the one that I got. So anyhow, so this is what happened. We're in Georgia, mm-hmm. and we are, you know, driving a black SUV, tinted windows, and we're having a really good time and we're listening to our music and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden I see this light behind me. It's dark. So we're a black family and I'm just like, oh boy. But we talked to our kids about, you know, police and things that are happening in the media and the challenges that we're facing as a black community, you know, with Colin Kaepernick and kneeling and just the way that the country is divided on this and how the narrative that is out there is being skewed towards whether you're a patriot or whether you're anti-cop. And we are so not anti-cop. We love authority and we really believe in authority, especially being people who are religious and we are traditional and we truly, in our relationship with the Lord, a major facet of that is respecting the authority of God. And so we also respect the authority in this world. So we talk to our children and we try to give a balanced view.
Wait, but before you move on, mm-hmm. I do have to say though, we are very aware and it's very clear to us when things are not fair.
Right.
And there's no justice.
Right.
And that there are some good cops and there are some bad cops.
Absolutely.
And we see it daily. And we know that while we can respect authority, there are so many ways that people abuse authority. And that's what we teach our children about.
And injustice, you know, laws right. are made to be kept, mm-hmm. not to be broken. Laws are made to be kept. We are law keepers. Well, I didn't keep the law with the speeding.
Yeah, But I just don't want to get it twisted that we cannot see both.
Yeah, the injustice.
Sides, you know.
So the cop gets out of the car and our family is prepared. And I just want to share with you how we were prepared because we have talked about this before. The cop starts coming up. I notice that the cop is coming up on the right-hand side of the car. The first thing that I did was said a quick prayer and I turned off the engine, shut off the music, mm-hmm. wind down all the windows and turned on the light mm-hmm. inside of the car so that the cop will be able to see every single occupant that is in the car.
Right.
All of that was done before the cop could even get out of his car. At the same time, Rita understood that we knew where the license was. We knew where our insurance was. We knew where all of our papers were. We kept it right beside so that if in the case that this happened, that Rita would be able to grab that quickly or I'd be able to grab that quickly. We went with Rita grabbing it because it would, me being a black man, it would be me reaching for something. So we had that already before he was coming. Rita pulled it out of the glove compartment that was right beside her on the shoulder. And I had my hands on the steering wheel, both hands fully showing. And the kids in the back, all four of our children, could be seen because the windows were down and all of them showed all their hands. So we had our hands up, not fully up like all the way in the ear, but showing all of our hands. Rita had her hands out with the documentation on the dashboard. So when the cop came up on the side, I saw him walking on the side. And of course, he had his hand by his gun. Probably it's a dark, it's night. And by the time he got to the car, he could recognize that we are black, but we took away all of the anxiety that he may have had us being black because we were prepared.
I don't know if all of his anxiety was gone, but
we certainly eliminated as much as possible.
But we also tried to eliminate our anxiety by making sure that we were prepared.
Right. And at the end of the day, all of that was to communicate to him that we want you to get home safely and we want you to feel safe. And we also want to get home safely. So we were fully prepared to submit completely and to respect his position of authority. When he came up to the window, I turned to him and I said, "Good evening, sir." He said, "Good evening." And he said, "You know," he said, "Do you know that you were speeding?" I said, "I am sorry, sir. I did not notice that how fast I was going." And of course, he said, "Do you have your license and registration?" It was right there in my wife's hand. And we just, everything that was said clearly. It was said in a respectful tone. And then he was able to gather everything that he had to gather, and he was able to go back to his car and to do his job. Now, I just want to mention this, that I have had many friends who has had some really bad encounters with cops. I've known a lot of people that have had really bad encounters with cops, and I'm talking people of color. I personally have not had those same kind of racial profiling encounters that I can recall. So to me, but it doesn't mean that just because I haven't had it, I don't know that it happens. It happens all the time, and it's an injustice that.
And it doesn't mean that it won't happen.
And it doesn't mean it won't happen. And that's,
you could be fully prepared. We just saw a video of someone being completely compliant.
Absolutely.
And they were sitting on the curb, and the cop tased him anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, this is a scenario where we just do the best we can. Ultimately, we pray.
Right.
That's the most important thing. Then secondly, we do what we can, you know, by putting our hands up, putting the windows down. Right. But it's something that we definitely...
Turning off the music and all this stuff.
Right.
Well, the reason why I'm saying this is because I also want to share the narrative that while there are some definitely bad cops and there is an unjust system that is unjust against people of color in this country, we do know that there is a lot of good cops. And I am fortunate to be able to have gotten the ones that do their job.
We might be getting a cop in our family.
That's true.
You know, so we're actually two.
Right.
Two. So, you know, we definitely cannot be on this one side.
No, we're definitely not that one-sided family on this issue. Right. Anyhow, to make the long, a short story, not long. The cop went on his way and we went on our way, and I was very pleased that everything worked out that way. And I just pray that that can be the kind of encounters that we as black people can have more with police officers, where they're doing their job and we are showing respect.
Right. And it's a shame that we have to feel so much fear,
Right.
But it is the reality of what it is.
I genuinely felt fear. I genuinely, like, when
you
cops stop me.
You always have to, like, take deep breaths.
Right.
And,
when cops stop me now, like, my heart starts racing and I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. Like, and I have done nothing wrong. I'm a law-abiding citizen besides the occasional ticket here and there.
Yeah.
But, anyhow, that's just our little, spiel before we went to Bahamas. We had a great time at Bahamas.
Well,
it rained out.
It rained.
But I really liked my time because I got to see my boy Dion.
So we took a, It was a short cruise, really. Wasn't it like 4 nights or something? Or
yeah.
3 or 4 nights. And we just took it from out of Orlando and went down to the Bahamas. And, oh, man, it's like I could see the clouds. And I was like, oh, man, I really hope it's clear down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was not. We went to the Atlantis Resort. I don't know if you guys have been there, but it is an amazing resort.
Right.
And it's big, too. It's like a resort, like a Disney World for water. You know, it's just like it's huge. Mm-hmm. And it was rainy and cloudy. And I just got in the water for like a second. And then I had to just get out. Like, it was just too much for me. And then we just went to go eat. And then you went to the slides, so you probably had more.
Right. I had a blast. I really had a lot of fun on those slides.
I just wanted to chill out on the beach, though. Mm-hmm. And it was just not the day to chill out. Actually, the sun kind of came out towards the end, towards mm-hmm. when I was about to give up anyway. So, but interesting thing, Shiloh lost his cell phone there.
He sure did.
You know, and so that was a little bit of a downer. Yeah.
We lost half of our family, and Sasha started freaking out.
Yeah, she did.
Like, mommy!
I know. I told her that I was going to go I was going to go with her two sisters. I was going to go and eat with them while she and Shiloh went with their dad to go on the slides. I don't know where the communication broke down, but she somehow thought we might have left them. I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing because she was
freaking out.
Mommy! Really loud all over. And
so eventually we were looking for them for about half an hour, but she started really getting panicky like around the half an hour mark, where we started covering the ground that we had already covered. So now she is convinced they are nowhere in the park.
I don't know what she was thinking, though. Did she think that we went back to the boat? Like, what was going on?
I just don't know, but she was freaking out.
Well, all I know is that I was sitting there eating, and all of a sudden the faintest, I heard that, and mm-hmm. I was like, that sounds like my child.
Right.
And next thing I heard it again, even louder.
Because she's running. Right. She's running, and she has no destination. She's just running.
She's just running?
She is just running.
Well, she
and
runs
yelling
straight
at the top
to us, unknowingly, I guess, and she marches over to me, and she goes, I thought you guys left, and she bursts out crying.
And then that was it. She was shaking and crying.
I mean, I'm only laughing because I was so bewildered, because I was like, wait, what happened?
Well, as far as you were concerned, you weren't a part of the search party. I was. So I knew that there was a problem. You were just sitting there like,
yeah, we were just eating.
Having a good time at Bahamas, you know?
Anywho, but then the next day we heard the loudest thunderstorm I've ever heard in my life. It was one of those cruises where you got to do a do-over. I think the best part actually was the 80s party on the ship. It was fun. And yeah. We were just singing. And at first I was like, I don't miss 80s songs. Like, and then as soon as they put on, what was that song they put on? Like the first
they
one.
They put on a lot of songs.
I know. As soon as they put one song
sweet
on.
Sweet dreams are made of you.
Yeah.
You know,
Living on a Prayer. As soon as Living on a Prayer came on, that was it. We were done. We were dancing and singing. And so I guess I do miss the 80s. Yeah. I think I miss the 80s.
Yeah, so. I mean, it was just like, pour some sugar on me. Like every song that you can think of beat it. And
yeah, it was fun.
You know, Billie Jean and everything. They just really did a good job.
They did. I didn't necessarily like our room that much.
I know. And like, we were on Carnival, and when we did the Royal's room was way better.
Royal Caribbean?
Yeah. We did we always do the suite, and it just didn't.
I like Carnival, but it's just that particular room, I don't necessarily think I
feel
it.
Like the last time that we went on Carnival, we went into just like the regular rooms when mm-hmm. we first went, me and Rita.
Yeah.
And the food was so good. They had so many good food options. This second time, it's like what? It had been at least 3 years that it had went by between the time that we went before, maybe three
right,
or four.
But it was a different ship.
It was different ship, but I just did not like the food options. I didn't like the room options.
Well, I think they need more.
I had the junior suite. And my bathroom was way better than the captain's suite. And it's just like, I can't understand that. If you have the captain's suite, you should.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, you should have a better bathroom.
In the captain's suite, it had this like boring, bland, dirty looking tile.
Right.
Whereas in the junior suite bathroom, it looked like marble. It was
right. So Rita, we had to get two rooms because there's so many people in our family. And that's another thing. In the royal suite, it accommodated six.
Yeah.
And in this captain suite, it only accommodated five. So I had to.
We had to get another room.
Get another room. And the junior suite was better than the captain suite. So I don't know. I got a bad taste in my mouth when it came to Carnival.
So what other trips did we go on?
So we went to Atlanta and we also went to Austin.
Atlanta's though barely a trip for us because we live so close to it.
I know. But we had a good time.
We're in Atlanta a lot now. But we did go to the aquarium. I don't know if any of you all have been there. It's nice.
There's
so many different sections.
Yeah, we met a lot of our fans. It was so funny. Every time our fans come to us, we everywhere we go, first of all, we meet fans. But we have like these interesting stories of some of our fans.
Oh, yeah. There was a little girl. She just ran up to me and gave me a hug and then went through all the family, giving each one of us a hug. It was the sweetest thing.
It was. I just get surprised when we go to like places like Bahamas, like certain places that we go, I don't expect to meet fans.
That was actually kind of funny.
It's really interesting when we do meet fans.
Yeah, because even in the Bahamas, we're just chilling on the beach and this little boy comes up to us and goes, "Hey, I watch you guys all the time."
Right.
And he just kept saying hello like for an hour straight.
Right. You always know when the fans know you, they start looking at you and they're nudging their parents and they're trying to convince their parents.
But it's nice. It's very nice. And we appreciate every fan. We also, like we said, just came back from Austin. It was a brief trip, but...
Yeah, the girls went to go see Dan and Phil. They're YouTubers. I don't know if our audience knows them, but...
Yeah, they really wanted to see them for a long time. We actually bought those tickets last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin was the only one that was not sold out anywhere close to where we live, so...
Right, and so we had to head out there. And
yeah.
We have family out in Texas, so we, you know, made it a trip where we went to see them as well.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, Austin is a very nice city.
Now, we were in...
We actually really like Texas anyway.
Yeah, we like Texas. Mm-hmm. We were in, I think, Mississippi. I think it was Mississippi. It was either Mississippi or Louisiana, one of those two. It might have been Louisiana, actually. We were in Louisiana when we stopped for like a washroom break and get gas. And then I was sitting in line at some chicken joint. I can't remember what it was, KFC or... Popeyes.
I think you've only ate Popeyes.
Oh, okay. I think it was Popeyes. And I'm in the line and I'm checking out. And then the person that's cashing me, I was like, "I know you from somewhere." So I'm racking my brain like as if he like actually personally knows me, maybe from college or, you know, when I'm a kid. And I'm like forgetting. I'm a YouTuber. And then he's just like, "Yeah, that's it. You're Onyx Dad." And I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, it was so funny. Nice. It's nice. So one other thing we did too... in this break was that we started publishing our kids' books. We started a series based off of our channel Onyx Kids, and we did it so that, number one, it expands the brand. If you're looking at it from a business standpoint, it expands your brand, mm-hmm. makes it more mainstream, and there's another point of access to potential fans or customers. On a more sentimental note, it also helps keep our children at one age, because when you go on our videos, they're clearly going to be aging every year.
Right.
But in books, Shiloh's voice is sounding like this. They get to just stand still.
Like, hi, mom and dad.
Yeah, well, not quite, but yeah. So on a sentimental note, it was really nice to start and just keep our children at that Onyx Kids age. It was a blessing to be able to publish it. Now, we're doing it all through self-publishing ourselves. Right. And when you do that, you really see the challenge, because there's so many technical requirements and formatting requirements. And, we had the biggest challenge with the paperback version, because that's a whole new set of requirements. And once you do it, and you do it often, it'll go by fast. But it is one of those things where it's like, do you pay someone, get it done faster? But then, you know, you're putting out money. Right. Do you do it yourself? But now it's a time cost. So this route we chose ourselves. And we're going to see how much we can do on our own. We are planning on doing an audiobook with it. So it's going to be interesting to see, because I have put it out for a narrator. But I may do it myself. But there are other things that I have to learn, too, with the formatting for an audiobook. And so when we talk about the Onyx Life and we talk about entrepreneurship, these are the things that we touch on so that you guys can see different ways to expand your brand, different ways to reach people, and what it takes to actually do it.
Yeah, so it hasn't been all fun and games, folks. We've been working hard and trying to make sure that we have our brand up. So, and if you have kids within the age range of anywhere between 5 and 10, you really want to check these books out, Onyx Kids books, and they're in Amazon and they're in various venues. So
this first series is called Onyx Kids, Shiloh's School Days. And then I think next month we are going to be releasing also a series based off of Shasha. So that will be fun. And then, of course, we are expanding our book publishing business to, we're also in the process of writing other books that have nothing to do with kids' books, but are more mysteries, thrillers, romance. And we'll talk about that on another podcast.
Self-help. And things for families and things like that. So,
but another big thing that in regards to the business was that we had to switch attorneys for trademarks. It wasn't that our other attorney was not, well, our first attorney, she was...
The company that we were with, it was a big company. We went with a big company thinking that, go with the big company, you know, spend the dollars and
this first attorney was just not organized. She was not organized. The billing was very messed up and we felt like we were shelling out way more money than we should have. Although she left and the person that took over for her was actually very competent, I was really through with that whole firm. So we decided to switch to someone.
And it's just we're sharing this with you because we want you to know this, that just because you started with someone doesn't mean that you have to just continue going.
Right.
You know, just stop in the middle of it. Save yourself the headache, the money, the time.
Right.
And we're not here sitting here crying over spilt milk because at the end of the day, we've accomplished much by doing all these trademarks and, you know, a lot has been accomplished. So we're not crying over it. You know, we have a lot accomplished and we're very proud of that. But like, don't think that you have to stick with someone all the way through. If they're not doing the right job, just move on.
Right. And another thing too is listen to your gut, because I would have gotten rid of her a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I gave her a chance that I really shouldn't have. And I could have been much more stress-free if I had just switched. Mm-hmm. I just recommend to anybody out there two things. If you have a brand, get on the trademarks quickly.
Yes.
Because it's time-consuming. It can be costly, unfortunately. But it is very time-consuming. And you want to get on it because as soon as people get wind of your brand, they may try to put a trademark on something.
Well, there's a guy that's actually doing that. There's a guy. That's his business. His business is
not just with us though, but with so many trademarks. He just thinks of random names, popular names, and he starts trademarking them and even registering them, which is like that final process.
So he trademarks, he registers, he goes through everything, and he probably like scans the internet, probably has people working for him.
That's right.
And they'll see, let's just say they'll see Onyx, right? And they'll be like, oh, this is a cool thing, and they'll just check it out to see if you have your process done. And if they see that you don't have a process done, they are on it, and they will get everything done. And then, you know, then you're gonna have to work with them to buy it back.
So I recommend the second thing I recommend is get an attorney for your trademarks. It is way too much to do by yourself, and you want someone that is recommended, someone that does a flat fee, and someone that will do, you know, really do their homework.
Not pay for hour, because pay for hour is just,
they rack it up. Although there are some things that are, you still do have to pay per hour, but they should tell you right away what their flat fee is for that hour. And then also give you an estimate of how many hours it's going to take for different things. Because even when you file, you're filing not just for the trademark, you're filing per class.
Right.
Then on top of that, if you have to do any office actions or responses, you have to pay for the filing fee for those responses. And on top of it, you have to pay for the time that the lawyer took to actually compile it.
You know what? I think that we need to have a podcast on this. We're definitely going to have a podcast on it because we're just trying to give you an overview of our summer. But we're going to have to give you a podcast on this because it's way too important. Yeah, you guys really need to get that information.
So another thing we've been doing over the past couple of months, we've been catching up on some of our shows. Well, there are two shows that I discovered. Well, no, one I discovered last year, but there was one new one this year. So the new show that I discovered was called Killing Eve. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen it. It's on BBC. I don't know if it's BBC America or just BBC. probably just BBC, but or both. Anyway, it stars Sandra Oh, and she is a not CIA, because it's for Britain. She's like the, a British.
Not KGB.
She works for, I know, like MI5 or MI6. One of
MI6,
them.
MI6.
And she is trying to track down an assassin who is killing off major leaders in Europe and all over the world. And it's almost like a cat and mouse game. It's very, very, very good. Definitely not for children, you know. I was a little bit uncomfortable with it because the assassin is very callous about taking life. And I just personally, it always gets me. But the overall show, the acting, you know, if you're just going to move beyond that, the overall show is really well acted. It's very natural. One thing I like about European shows especially is that not everyone has to be like, wow, so attractive. You know, they've got a range. They've got really attractive people to just okay looking people. And some people who are like, ugh. But it's more reflective, I feel, of life, you know. And I really like Sandra Oh as an actress as well. I'm so glad that she got to get into another show where she gets to really showcase her acting skills. I mean, she was on Grey's Anatomy and I loved her on that. To see her in this show was just, you know, like, wow, she's an Asian leading lady. The show is just about her because her name is Eve. And so the show is about her killing Eve. So it's just a really great show. Check it out. Like I said, warning, the assassin is very callous. But the way that they play it in the show is that she is hurting and she's had things happen to her in her life that have made her that way. And truth be told, I think anybody who is an assassin basically probably has to have that kind of mindset in order to do it. Imagine an assassin who was crying every single time they did that.
So what is the redeeming grace for you when you watch it? Like, what does it kind of do for you? Because I know it's exciting. The show is exciting for you. But what do you find is the redeeming grace that it, you know, it contributes to you?
I think what I do like about the show is that Sandra Oh's character, Eve, is just one of your... She's smart. She is trying to balance work and marriage and just...
Well, she's actually married?
Yeah, in the show.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, she's married and it's just about the way that she's trying to balance everything, but on top of it, be at the top of her game. It deals with things like grief and deals with other... It just deals with some themes that are very adult. But it's like in this day and age, you always, it just seems like all TV has to have something that is just over the top, you know?
Right.
And so in this particular one, she's an assassin, not Eve.
And
it
kind of reminds us that there are all sorts of occupations out there, things that people have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like, just like in God's world there, even in the ocean, there is like, there are animals that have to clean up the garbage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just these kind of shows is like a reminder to us that not everybody just gets to have this prissy clean life where, you know, everything is so perfect. And I was just always interested, like, how do you live out your life and have to have that tension? So that's really interesting. And that kind of like I haven't watched that one with you. I just can't get into a lot of these shows, but the one that I did get into was A Handmaid's Tale.
Oh,
and that really
boy,
blew me
guys.
Away when I watched this one.
Guys, I mean, next week is the finale. And oh boy. Like, Murthal, you kind of stopped watching it few episodes.
I
don't know why. It's been amazing.
I guess it's like... first of all, this is a really compelling show. I mean, it is really compelling. They have so much. And it really depends on what type of person you are. But if you are really into analyzing society... analyzing how, you know, society is operating and New World Order or secret societies or just the trends of things that are happening in the world, this show is going to really grab your attention because you start seeing these parallels of these things that are happening in our society, making you wonder, where are we going as a people in this society? And this show kind of shows you almost like a apocalyptic glimpse into where we're heading.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's scary.
Elizabeth Moss is doing a fantastic job. But Aunt Lydia, oh my goodness, what is this actress's name? She plays Aunt Lydia. She is phenomenal. You're talking about
the older lady that kind of like runs the handmaids.
Yes, Anne Dowd. My goodness, she deserves like a standing ovation. Mm. She keeps this show so, I mean, she just elevates it
with her
acting, you know? Mm-hmm. Joseph, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Fiennes. Mm-hmm. He plays Commander Waterford, and his wife, I think her name is Eve. I should have looked up the name, Stravowski. Right. I don't remember her name, but
whatever.
But whatever. They all the leading people are just so good. You know, it's just an amazing show. Right. And
it just reminds you that there are so many things that are going on in our society, and in a drop of a pin, it's like things can change for us. It kind of reminds you of, you know, how the Jews were back when Nazi was starting to take over.
Yes, it's a combination of not only the Holocaust, but also slavery.
Slavery,
because
right.
they're using these handmaids for basically sexual servitude.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the babies ripped away from them basically as soon as they have them, and they get placed in another home.
So there's like a lot of history that you can make these parallels. And in the Nazi Germany during that time, there was this transitional period where the government was going in a certain particular way, and the citizens felt so comfortable mm-hmm. in their life that the threats that were looming against them, the hints of all the threats and the freedoms that were about to be taken away, they didn't really take it very seriously.
No.
And then all of a sudden, bang, it was too late. And that's kind of what happened here. And I can't help but feel that there are some parallels in our society. Yep. There are some very disturbing things that are happening. And so one of the reasons that drew me to this show, although there are a lot of scenes that are extremely uncomfortable, it's definitely adult content. This is adult content, folks. And, you know, that's how Hollywood is. Hollywood is just not, they have the opportunity to depict something in a way that is more classy, in a way that is less, you know, I don't know, grilling and just offensive, but they're going to push the envelope. And so when you turn on these shows, you're just going to have to brace yourself for it. But if you can look past that and you can look at some of these themes, you can really learn, and it could really be a point of education for an adult.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because there was an episode a couple weeks back that mirrored what was actually happening in society, because it was a baby taken away from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right around the time everything all broke loose with that whole policy
at the border
separating the mothers and the children.
Right.
And it was all at the same time. So if you thought, oh, these things can't happen, well,
you know,
it's happening.
It makes you think, but, uh-huh. But it's a very compelling show. Why I stopped watching it, I think it's just I got the point. You know what I mean? I kind of got the point.
Well, you're not really into TV.
You're right.
You know, so it's not so much you got the point. You personally are just like, you move on.
Right.
Before every movie, like, you used to always walk out right before the movie would end, you know, or the show would end. Like, you always have.
And
enough.
I fall asleep in a lot of movies.
You fall asleep through so many.
But
so
I never fell asleep in this one. This one was really compelling. This one was really like creative, compelling.
I'm not quite sure why you stopped, because I continued, guys, and I'm excited for next week.
Right.
And when next week's come on, we will definitely wrap up the whole season. One other show I've really been watching, it's always my little guilty pleasure, is Real Housewives of New York. It's such a mess. It's such a mess. But I don't know.
Now, that one, when you're watching it, I'll stick around sometimes, even though I always say this to Rita, like, what's the point? None of them are housewives. Like, so many of them are not actually housewives.
And I get so tired of hearing it, because it's not the point anymore. It's
just
the title, and I'm done with that. We've moved on.
They're a terrible example of what a housewife should look like.
I'm
into family, and I'm just like,
I know, but you know, you don't have to tell me every single time I watch it. It's like me, mm-hmm. you know, being over your shoulder every time you watch something. It's like, let me just watch it.
I know.
Anyway, it's a guilty pleasure. It's fun. You know, it's interesting, because I like to see the Real Housewives and how they evolve their business on the side, what they're doing. And, you know, Bethany with her skinny girl line, and just all the housewives, really, what actually works, what doesn't. And it's actually pretty hard to grow a brand, because you would think with the platform that these women have, oh, it should be a piece of cake to develop a brand. But we've seen failed wines, toaster ovens, all sorts of things on all these shows.
And the interesting thing is that they have the audience. They right. have the eyeballs on their products. Exactly. So it's not working. And it just shows you how tough it is to get to get a brand out there.
It's really tough to mm-hmm. really break out there. You know,
Skinny Girl was a great idea.
What she did with that is phenomenal.
Right.
So other things that happened, I will say that, you know, I had a really bad experience with a dentist. You know, I won't even mention their company, but I will definitely not go back there. And I'll just briefly go into it that when you go to the dentist and they do a long questionnaire and interview and say, like, what is important for you? What are you looking for in a dentist? What are you looking for in our office? And you tell them professionalism, care, and all the things that, you know, anybody would really say. And then their actual, like, subtitle after their, you know, their marquee is, we specialize in comfort care, whatever. Okay, whatever. Because when I was in the chair, after they did the x-rays, I felt something sharp in my gum. And I was like, what is that? And then I felt it again. And I said, ow. And I wasn't even loud. And the woman goes, oh, you're going to scare the kids. And I was like, well, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm just checking for a dental disease. I do it on everybody. And she proceeds to take the I forgot. Our friend told us what it's called, but it's the thing that scrapes the tartar off of your teeth. You know, it's really sharp and they just scrape it. Well, she took that and pushed it down into my gum all around the inside and outside of my top and bottom gum. I mean, talk about pain. And I was like, this is what you do for everyone? I said, well, how often? Oh, we do it like every 4 to 6 months. And I'm calculating in my head, how many times do I have to go through this? Then the dentist comes in, he introduces himself. And then I say, oh, I have this because I used to have braces. So I have one of those permanent wires behind one of my bottom teeth and my upper. But the bottom one, there was an edge that was a little bit loose. And I asked him to look at it. And he takes that same sharp instrument and he pulls back my bottom lip with it. And that was it. I got so angry because I'm like, why would he do that? But then at first I said, well, maybe he forgot that this is not the mirror, you know? And I kind of jerked a bit and then he did it again. And then I said, this hurts. And he said, oh, I'm just trying to pull back your lip. And I was like, I was through. At this point now, I'm really angry, but I'm really calm. He leaves the room. And the woman, she's seeing the dental hygienist is seeing my anger. And she's like, well, what's wrong? And I said, I just don't understand why he would use that on my lip. And she goes, oh, well, you know, some people just have sensitive gums. And I'm like, well, that's not my gum. That's my lip. And also, my gums did hurt from what you did.
But she at first thought that he used the mirror. And then you had to correct her and said, no, it wasn't the small mirror. He actually used a pick.
Yeah. I was just so mad. And then when we were checking out, well, then she just says, okay, so we're going to take you to the checkout now. I didn't even get a cleaning. What was all of that for if I didn't even get a cleaning?
And just to let you know, that's what Rita went in there for. She actually went in for a cleaning.
Just a regular routine cleaning. I brush and floss my teeth every day and night. So she was like, oh, well, we have to do a deep cleaning and we're going to have to schedule this for another day. Folks, I was not coming back. Forget that. So I went, I did the checkout because I'm going to pay my bill because what they're not going to do is say, oh, she didn't pay her bill. No, I didn't pay. What am I talking about? I went and I paid my bill and they were like, oh, well, here's a bag, you know, with your free toothbrush and your free bag. I was like, I don't want any of your things. And I had my kids scheduled to actually do some work there. And I was like, cancel everybody. And we were done. I'm done with it. That was actually traumatizing for me. And then I talked to some of my friends who are dental hygienists, and they are saying that what they were supposed to use was a little flexible pointer to go to check the gum. Mm-hmm. And that you were always supposed to use a mirror for the lip, like whenever you like, you know, pull a little on the lip.
Right.
So they were surprised by my experience. And of course, my one friend was like, I told you not to go to him. And I was like, well, I get lesson learned, right?
Right.
Stick with your friend's recommendations. So anywho, that was what, that was something that also happened this summer. And we started working out with a trainer.
Yeah.
So, sure, you know,
that is a really positive thing. You know, it's been something that I have been thinking about doing for a while because, you know, you'll start and then you'll stop and start and stop and start and stop. I do not like to exercise. And so what I like about the training is that it allows somebody there to hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. And it for me, everyone doesn't need this, but I push myself more when I have somebody there that is, you know, that is right there holding me accountable. And another thing that I like about our trainer is that we get to learn how to do things the right way, right posture. We get the feeling as though we're getting the education that is really good.
Yeah, she's a really, she was perfect for our family because she trains the kids and then also trains my husband and I.
And that's the good thing about it is it becomes a family thing where we're all doing it together. Because we were listening to this podcast when we were traveling about the Blue Zones. And one of the things that it says in the Blue Zones is that it's not so much when you're pushing yourself to become healthy. And a lot of Americans and in Western culture, they really push themselves to be healthy. But it needs to become a part of your lifestyle. And the best lifestyle changes is when you have a community that is kind of behind it, like kind of nudging you. Mm-hmm. But if you have a community that every place that you go, you see a billboard with a big burger and fries. Mm-hmm. And then you go to school and there's all these soda machines. And then you go, you know.
And you don't have friends. So you're just at home. You're just sitting or you're not close to family. You tend to eat more and eat the wrong things.
Right. And so it's what they were basically saying is that it's a community thing. Mm-hmm. And it's more, long life is more about how you are nudged by the people around you.
Right.
And how the environment is that can impact on you so that you don't have to make a conscious decision. But these are unconscious decisions that are being made every day based on your environment around you. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go on our journey because, you know, we want to be losing weight and we're feeling a whole lot more energy and we're getting toned. And so as we go on our journey, we want to kind of like bring you along with us. So that's another segment that I think that we're going to probably have quite a bit about,
you know,
our journey.
I do want to say an example of that was, though, when we were in Dallas, before we went to Austin, we were in Dallas and we were there for my grandfather's birthday. He's 85 now. And so we had a lot of family there. And my cousin said, hey, let's go bowling tonight. And so see that social nudge? Like, hey, let's go do something active.
Right.
If he had not said that, I probably would have just gone back to the hotel after and just, you know.
Surfing on our computer or go to a movie or something. And it's so, just, it would have been something that would have been more.
Right.
The patterns that we have formed.
Exactly. So we went bowling with my aunt and my cousin. And the funny thing is, last year, all of our kids, whenever they bowled, it was just in the gutter, okay? It was just in the gutter. All of a sudden now, a year later, like, Shalom is like a champ. She was getting strike after strike after strike. I don't know what happened. And Sinead started getting all these strikes.
Right.
And Shiloh and Sasha
they get
improved.
Competitive.
And I was even doing better. I've chalked it up to maybe my workout is making my arm stronger. I don't know. But we were all like, whoa, blown away by how well we were doing. And Marthel, he always does well. So we were like, we need to do this more often as a family.
Right.
So
we're going to, I just bought tennis rackets today because we have a tennis court in our neighborhood.
Well, I'm nervous about that one.
We've been swimming more. So we're just like really allowing this community idea to just settle in that. Start building those kind of habits where we're supporting one another through unconscious behavior. Maybe a few things that we're changing here and there so that it becomes habits, positive habits that are fun so that we're not like consciously sitting there thinking like I have to lose weight or I have to do it this way. Because that's one of my, you know, hubrises. This is like an Achilles heel for me. It's when I will, you know, I hate working out. I will, if I have to intentionally walk, I'll be like, nope, I don't want to do it.
Well, it's hate working out, combining it with loving like fatty foods.
Right.
That comfort foods.
The comfort foods, exactly. But with this way, I'm so excited. I get excited when we go swimming. I get excited when we go and do these sports. And so, and anyhow, we're going to keep you up to date on all of these things. And, you know, just to top it all off, for Rita's birthday, we got her a hot tub. So now when we're sore after our workouts,
yes,
we get to chill. I don't know if we told you that we're building a swimming pool. Things kind of didn't kind of work out exactly the way that we wanted to work out. The company that we went with, they were overbooked and just so they didn't have time to do it. So it doesn't look like we're going to get our swimming pool this summer, but we are definitely working towards it next summer. But at least we got our hot tub.
Yes. And that was really nice because I thought, well, I might as well at least have a hot tub to soak in. And it's been really nice. But I do have to say that, you know, getting a hot tub installed in the middle of summer is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you got to like
and go where on, we are. It's hot.
Right. You got to at least maybe go on it at night. So basically, that was our summer in a nutshell.
That is our summer in a nutshell.
Well, you know, I do have to say summer just started. So that was our beginning of summer in a nutshell. We still have July and August to go.
But we are back, though, and you guys can rest assured that you're going to be getting some more podcasts where you're going to get all your favorite topics. Of course, we are going to have some other topics that we're going to be introducing, things like social media.
So I'm going to start some segments called Rita Reviews, and we're basically going to review movies, shows. We're going to review... you know, anything like books and even social media sites. You know, there's a lot of comedy and other things, inspirational sites that are just on Instagram or just on Facebook. And these are things that, you know, millions of people are watching. And sometimes this is one of my pet peeves. I get a video that I go, whoa, this is so amazing. And I look and I see already 17 million people saw it. And I'm like, what? How did I not hear about this? Right. So those are the things that I want to talk about, websites and things like that, that people would love and across all genres, you know, and I really am excited to do those segments. We're also going to have more of a family podcast too, so you guys can get to know.
And of course, like I've always done, the family segment of these podcasts, but now we're going to get into some more inspirational topics, and I call it Love to Tell. And it's just kind of sharing some inspirational things that will really get you really inspired for good living, wholesome living, and sharing a little bit more of my faith, which is a very important part of my life. So it's called Love to Tell segment. So start looking for it. Read a reviews, Love to Tell sections. And then, of course, we're going to have our children that are going to be on here, and they're going to be sharing, you know, their story as siblings, Onyx siblings. And
especially the two older ones who are... kind of getting ready to leave teenagehood. Well, they still have a couple more years, but they are...
But 19 and 18, their birthdays are coming up, and they're going to be 19 and 18.
They'll be tackling life from their perspective and doing reviews from things that, you know, their age group is really in tune with. So we have a lot that we're doing for you guys. We're excited to be back. We're still going to be daily, Monday through Friday. And... I think that is it, right? Is that all that's new?
I think it is.
Okay.
And we just want to thank you for listening.
Join us again Monday through Friday. Show notes will be found at theonyxlife.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at The Onyx Life and on Twitter at The Onyx Life and on Instagram at The Onyx Life Official.
Now go live that Onyx Life where change comes to challenge. See you next time.